But at that moment, I looked and I thought, that's enough. So I attacked her back, right? I jumped on her and in her face and I started punching her face and I said, enough, enough. I've had enough. You're not going to hurt me anymore. That's finished. It's over. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it again, I'm going to kill you.
Jeez.
I know, it's pretty
intense. Zero to a million.
Yes, exactly. But it wasn't like zero to a million without control. I knew exactly what I was doing at that moment. And it was a language that she understood. Welcome
to another episode
of Driving to the Res.
Your favorite hosts, Larry and Inelia.
Yay! And today we're going to be touching on a hot topic. When bad things happen, is it our fault? And the fault word is in inverted commas.
What is inverted commas?
Inverted commas are quote marks.
Oh, it's like fault.
Yes.
So I guess we're talking about fault. I want to recognize this is an article from 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we're touching on it is because oftentimes these articles, despite the time they're written, become relevant over and over,
yes.
Right? And the other thing I will note is this article was written in a time before there was a split
decision.
So the context of that kind of matters.
Mm-hmm.
It matters
tremendously, because after 2011, the split was to have like two different experiences of reality. Before that, it was just an ascension process. It was a process of the entire human collective was increasing their awareness and stepping into enlightenment and oneness and all these other things that are high frequency and expanded awareness, basically.
Right, right. So this was a Ascension 101 article, and ascension meant and means expansion of awareness.
Right.
In what you
within
mean by
the
it.
Teachings that I teach, yes.
Right. But it is also means a lot of other things depending on the teachings, right?
Yes.
And so this article similarly has phrases, statements, and situations that is very easy to take
out of
context or apply it to the wrong definition and things like that. So I consider this to be one of the more advanced articles to be able to read and collect and connect to the information that's being transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
Also move yourself to the time where there was no split and put it into that context. If you're able, I mean, this is kind of an active listening thing. Listen to it from the perspective that it was written in and how it translates to how we are engaging in a split.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's relevant.
Okay.
Anyway,
we're going to do this usual. I'm going to read a little bit of it and then we're going to discuss it.
Yes.
All right. So the first part, we have all gone through hardship in our lives.
We have. Maybe we haven't.
I haven't met anybody who hasn't. Have you met anyone who hasn't?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who have you met that hasn't gone through hardship?
Mostly people who pretend they haven't.
They have pretend who have?
Yeah, they often. Well, it's a scale thing, hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't call it hardship. Some just call it challenge. Some call it, no, really had pretty much easy childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seriously negative happened. So no real hardship. That was an interesting conversation I heard before, actually, which was the hardship level of people's experiences in like first worlds is so low compared to how, I guess, it had been in the past in 50s or 60s, when like you might go a week without no food. And you had to walk to school in 6 feet of snow.
And they wouldn't
consider
it hardship either. And they
were
like, yeah,
that's just normal.
So
hardship's a scale, right? And a scale of...
It doesn't make it less real for the person who's experiencing it. If we if we compare hardship between a person who lives in the United States, let's say, and it's not homeless.
Maybe their phone isn't like...
Right.
They don't have a phone charger.
We call it first world problems, you know. It might be.
I don't have a cord.
Oh, my gosh.
And the gas station I went to has the wrong, like,
gas.
They only have the old cord, not the new cord. It's, gosh, it's so hard.
Yes.
That's pretty big
compared
hardship.
To a person who hasn't gone without with food without has gone without food for a week and can't feed their children.
Or maybe they're living in a war zone right now.
Yeah. So different levels of hardship, but I've never met somebody who said I have had no hardship in my life. And how I don't judge it. I don't judge what they consider to be hardship, right? Or invalidate it. Because at the end of the day, that energy is the same, right? They hold it.
I guess my caveat is that through expansion of awareness, what maybe we considered hardship before doesn't really move the needle in the hardship present or looking back at it. It's like, oh, well, actually, that's not a big deal. So I wouldn't consider a hardship that I might have had as called a hardship back then. Mm-hmm. It was like I look back, I was like, oh, no, that was nothing. See what I mean?
It can happen. Yeah.
Okay. So I just mean that for the purpose of the article, right?
For the purpose of the article, I've never
pretty
met
much
a person.
Everyone's gone through some challenges. Oh, we call that hardship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll continue. Sometimes it has been so bad that it may seem unbearable.
Unbearable.
Yeah. The last thing we need to hear is that it is somehow our fault through karma. So if you're going through a tough time, a tough day, whatever, so somebody turns around and says, it's your fault because you brought this about because of your karma.
You probably did something bad to somebody now, or maybe if you didn't do it now, it's certainly in a past life. Yeah. You're just paying your debt, babe.
Yeah. So that doesn't help. It doesn't nothing, right, except give you guilt. Okay. So also the fact that in oneness there is no judgment, right? It is often translated by someone that they can witness a child being molested and do nothing about it, because in oneness there is no judgment of the event. Or that we should accept destructive and negative people in our lives because to judge them is bad. So all these things are brought in, you know, and I don't know if you see the pattern here, but it all validates negative situations. It validates them, gives them value to the negative situation. Or it kind of, you know, brushes them under the carpet, whatever that's called, you know. It's like that. Yeah, it's part of life kind of thing, and you brought it about yourself and blah blah blah, that type of thing.
Well, you know, then there's the so it gets complicated.
It does.
Yeah, because at the time before split, right, all of those things need to go away, but in a split, some of those things are choices that of our experience that people want to have.
Yes.
So it makes it tough to reconcile that sentence with the split experience, right?
I don't understand. Can you express that a little differently?
Because literally people have chosen to have terrible experiences. And they definitely chose to have fault and karma. That's what they've chosen.
Yes.
So they do need to take the blame. They want the blame. That's their choice of experience. So it makes it tougher to reconcile in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. You see the difference in what I'm saying? So when
this is true also for when it was written and now.
Yeah.
I think it's true for both times. I don't see the difference, actually. I don't see the difference between now there's a split and before everybody was ascending in awareness, expanding their awareness, to what this is stating. I don't think there is any difference.
Well, the difference is the actions that you take. The one action might be, we get it to later.
Well, yeah. And also the audience that listen to us, they're not part of the ones that are action based on let's have some more suffering and pain here. You know, I'm only talking to the people who are actually interested in creating a new high frequency paradigm. Right.
Okay.
Then and now. So what do I think about the whole in oneness is no judgment and you can witness somebody being hurt and do nothing about it because there's no judgment of the event in a oneness level, or that you should accept destructive and negative people in life because to judge them is bad? What I think about that? Bollocks. It's all bollocks. That's what I think. Sorry, but the above beliefs are superficial understanding of both karma and oneness. If something bad has happened to you recently or in the past, then it's not your, quote, fault, unquote, nor is it something you're responsible or able to respond. If you have been able to respond to it, then you would not have suffered so much over it, or were still suffering about because of it. That's the whole point of the karma thing, right? So I have two definitions of karma that I run with, rather than the one that says it's your fault, it's your karma, and, you know, like, you know, put up with it or take it. One of them is karma is the desire to have experiences. So your desire to have an experience is what drives you to have that experience. That's one definition of karma that's not regularly known. The other definition of karma that I use is the being stuck in programs. If you're stuck in a program and your awareness field is shrunk, you're actually unable to get out. And it's not your fault that that's happening. It's because you're stuck in that program, right? So to me, the fault and responsibility part of it, your ability to respond, comes with the expansion of awareness. When you expand your awareness, you can step out of those programs and you're able to respond to negative things. And you can see them coming a mile away, usually. And if you have good allies, even better. They can say, hey, look, train wreck, train wreck. Right? So...
Generally, my experience with karmas and the definitions of karmas, whereas at first it's punishment for bad things, mm-hmm. like people are going to get their karma, so you don't have to worry about it. Karma's going to come mm-hmm. deal come with them bitch. Later. It'll be either now or another life or something. So it was a way to disengage from engaging with negative people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not my responsibility to fix them
mm-hmm.
or to punish them or to attack them or do anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get theirs.
Comeuppance.
Their comeuppance. Another one was when you start expanding your awareness and then you start accepting your responsibility and the reality you're creating, instant karma was like your reward for becoming more aware of creation. So it was like instant karma. I am high frequency, and so the I got 5 eagles to land in front of me and chirp. Instant karma, right? You get an instant response from the universe or your high frequency state.
The cause and effect part of the teaching of karma.
Yeah, so it is my fault that the eagles landed in front of me.
Yeah, your responsibility, able to respond, right?
Right.
So you know, can go both
what I'm
ways,
saying is
right?
There's lots of ways that we are taking this karma word. And I think that... I think that the way that you're describing it,
mm-hmm.
could you do it again? What you mean by this in the sense of fault in the article, in the context?
Yeah, karma is not our, quote, fault, unquote, or payback.
Okay,
karma
so
are simply patterns
true?
We're stuck inside, programmings.
So if you had a past life where you were murdering everybody, you're not going to have any consequences this life?
Not necessarily, yeah.
Okay.
If you're running the program that you should, then you will. If we're programmed, whether by experiences, upbringing, or cultural beliefs in this lifetime or others, in certain patterns, for example, we're always getting romantically attached to abusive alcoholics, then that becomes part of our vibrational signature. It is ingrained in us and part of our reality. Do you see that part? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No one out there saw that pattern or something negative. Because there's no judgment, or because it's our fault due to karma, or that we create our own reality, or... You made your bed and...
You get to sleep in it.
Yeah, that one. Then it would continue to exist. Or...
If no one saw that pattern as something negative.
Yeah, like, you know, it's normal for you to be married to an abusive spouse, right? It's normal.
Because...
There's no judgment around that. Or it's your karma, you know, you must have been a nasty person the last time with your spouses. You made your bed, now you stay there, right?
Well, you're the one who married an alcoholic cheater, so what
do you
expect?
You created it, right? Then it will continue to exist. Or if that is all they could say, then we not only continue the pattern, but also feel guilty and bad about being it our own making. And that's the point. We cannot be responsible. When we're stuck in a program pattern, we need help to get out of the programming. We need someone or something to help us shift our awareness out of that pattern and make us able to respond in a constructive manner. Once we're out of the pattern, we're able to respond in a more positive manner. We're able to help ourselves. And that's the part that I think most people don't understand, because they think if they work on themselves, by themselves, they'll get out of all the negative things. But they wouldn't even know or have any awareness that there's other possibilities in the universe if other people weren't living those possibilities or showing them or talking about it. It's not a lone creation. It's a co-creation that we live in, basically.
Way to hold that so you don't squish your dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm getting at here?
I think I kind of do. One of the things is that you can't be aware of what you're not aware of.
Exactly.
You can't be. Yeah. You can't become spontaneously aware. Sometimes of the things that you are foundationally made, or well hidden, or whatever.
And if you can see other patterns, like if there's something that you become aware of, you immediately have the power and capacity to change that, right?
Yeah. Come on.
So the example here, if a child has been molested, help that child, get the authorities on the perpetrator, do something. Painful patterns, those that can cause suffering, only trap the person in fear and guilt. They do nothing for spiritual growth. That's another thing that we have gone a lot into in other podcasts and articles, that negative things are not there to make you a better person. They don't allow for your spiritual growth. They're there to stop you. They're there to truncate your growth and to distract you, right? Those negative things. They do nothing for your growth or other people's or society's growth.
Right. Well, we're assigning negative to a lot of things, right? Negative to things that might, in some cases, be challenges. That all challenges are negative is a extension of that, you know?
Yeah, but that's not true, because climbing a mountain can be very challenging, but it's not a negative thing.
Right, so that's what I mean. This is one more of those examples where you need to really put it into the correct context, because when you say negative things happen and it's just bad, some people think getting wet
in the
on
rain,
the walk to the car is negative, you know?
Yeah.
Well, on the scale of negative, maybe you need to wash your face, who knows? So maybe it's a good thing. So we're assigning these negatives to clearly a bad thing. Negative thing is, you know, abusing children. But our definition of what child abuse has shifted dramatically from 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, right? So how do we assign negative?
Something that, like I said here, something that traps the person in fear and guilt.
So negative is something that traps a person in fear or guilt.
Yeah.
Okay, when you say it that way, right? When you hear it that way.
Causes suffering also.
Causes suffering. When you hear it that way, it's easier to place it where it belongs. That's what a negative is. Some other things that are just challenging, that's not necessarily that's not the negative we're talking about.
No. No.
And what about the individual not playing the victim, where it isn't negative thing causing suffering and whatever. So, even though other people might look at it and say, oh, geez, got to stop that. But like you're not I'm not a victim. Remember that article?
Yeah. Can you give an example?
Right. So you were clearly abused when you were a child and you never, felt yourself as a victim of anything. And so, while I would say that it was negative, it also assigns you as a victim, right?
You may assign me as a victim for sure, but I don't. And that's why I was able to overcome it and not get push me down. It did cause PTSD, but I also, the PTSD, I don't assign it as anything that's powerful in my life. You know, I don't allow it to, or don't have that much importance on it so that it would rule my life. So if that's the example you're using, I can tell you that My ignorance and inability to understand the concept of co-creation at a young, tender age disabled me in many, many ways. That I hadn't co-created that, if I had been more knowledgeable at the time, understood these concepts at the time, now I would be a much more able, capable, and powerful woman. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So did it have an effect? Absolutely, it had an effect. It disabled me in many, many ways.
So it was negative.
Yes.
But you weren't a victim of it?
No.
See, I just don't, it doesn't, I can't make heads or tails of how they're different.
To me, a victim is somebody who blames another person for doing something to them and gives, therefore, that power to that person, right? You did this to me and it's your fault and therefore I can never do anything to change it because it was done externally to me, right? To me, the energy was, shit happens, okay, let's see how we can navigate this thing.
Right. It's just a bit confusing is all. So, you know, I expect there's potential, and especially in our second hour, we'll be able to dive into it
mm-hmm.
from maybe several perspectives. It might just be me, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it's hard to hear that something bad happened to me as a kid because you love me, right? And for me, when I have told those stories, they're in a way of, yeah, look, you know, if I hadn't been in that situation, if I'd known how to respond in a better way, then I would have been a more able person. I wouldn't have been disabled, physically disabled, and like emotional body disabled or even mentally disabled, right? So it's a different concept. It's like from this perspective, looking back, I would have probably been able to manage those situations better. But at the time, I didn't have certain skills and abilities or knowledge, right? So it's from that perspective. For example, one perspective would be when I was 14, something happened and I wanted to forget it. So I decided to forget. Before that, I had absolute recall,
mm-hmm.
perfect recall. I could remember every single minute, second of my life. And then that just vanished. I forgot huge sections of my life. And when I was 7, I remember very distinctly, I was getting beat up by my older sister very badly. I mean, she didn't hold back, you know, she was abusive. And at one point, it's like I was playing on a corridor that it was really long corridor in the family home, really long, made of polished wood. And I was going from one end, you know, and then skidding, going all the way, slippery, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I would end to the other end of the corridor. And it was great fun. I was doing that. And my sister was staring at me. And at one point I did that and I slipped, I guess, wrong. And I fell. And I hurt myself quite badly, actually. It was a silly thing to do. And she started laughing and calling me names, right? And instead of coming over to help me, you know, she came over and kicked me when I was down kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her. I was 7 years old and she was like double that. She was about 14 and she was big for her age. And I looked at her and I thought, it's enough. I've had enough. But that was my internal decision. Even then at 7, it's like, yeah, whatever was happening, it wasn't that important. But at that moment, I looked and I thought, that's enough. So I attacked her back, right? I jumped on her and in her face and I started punching her face and I said, enough, enough, I've had enough. You're not going to hurt me anymore. That's finished. It's over. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it again, I'm going to kill you.
Jeez.
I know, it's pretty
intense. Zero to a million.
Yes, exactly. But it wasn't like zero to a million without control. I knew exactly what I was doing at that moment. And it was a language that she understood, right? That's the only language she understood. She was a bully. And she kind of started like hysterically laughing, you know? She got a bloody nose out of it. And then I jumped down and I looked at her and I put my hand out the stop sign and said, "That's over, it's enough." And then I walked away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even at that age, there was a limit. But before that, it's like, this is how life functions. It's like, I didn't know that life had any other options, literally. I had no idea. But something happened there, just put a stop to it. And that was the end of that. That was over. That didn't happen again. So it's a matter of language and everything. And it's like, for example, I was in my room. I had a special pen and pencils and things. I love pens and pencils, as you know, even today.
Mm-hmm.
I love the little pretties. And I was in a reading a book or doing something that was taking my attention, right? And like my stuff was just on the corner of my eye. And I saw one of my cousins walk in, look and see what I was doing, go to the desk and take my stuff, put it in their pocket and walk out. They stole it. And I saw it. And what went through my mind was, I guess they really want it and it's more important to them to have it than for me. I'm not that interested. I mean, it's not that important to me for me to have it. So would you call that me being a victim? Because it was a conscious choice of like, yeah, they can have it, I don't care.
Someone from the outside would look at it and say, yes.
Yes, what?
That you're the victim of theft.
Yeah.
And they should do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Someone from the outside. But it's a conscious decision, right? Mine was a conscious decision.
Someone in oneness or expanded awareness might look at that and connect with you and see that you weren't feeling victim and you didn't really care about that and they really needed it. So, okay. It's okay.
Yeah. And really needed it. It wasn't like they needed it to survive. It was
whatever.
Like, whatever.
I mean,
it's important.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, it was an important thing, right? Another right. time, a person, an adult, that was already an adult, and an adult blatantly lied to me in my face, to my face, lied to me,
yeah.
to my face. And I knew they were lying. And I looked at them knowing they were lying. And the words that went through my mind were, whoa, for them lying about this is more important than the truth. Okay. And I says, oh, okay, whatever, you know. So it's like that energy of the co-creation. Where are you going to go with your co-creation? Was I a victim of a liar or did I choose for them to have that reality at a conscious level? Because they went their way pleased that they got one over me, right?
Right.
So it's like the other parts, you know, it's like the stuff that happened that I had no idea the world was any different. And they injured, created scars at a physical level, emotional level, mental level. Those things stop spiritual growth.
Yes.
Right? They stop it. They stop awareness. Did those happen in my life? Absolutely. And why did they happen? Because I had no idea there were patterns happening. I had no idea that I could do something about it. Because I hadn't seen anybody doing anything about it. I haven't watched it, seen it, read it, nothing. Right. And when I got older and I started having more awareness around what's happening on the planet, and I was able to see that there were things you could do to stop that, I stopped it. Do you see? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point of it.
Okay.
If your awareness is shrunk, you cannot do anything about it. So it's not your fault and you're not able to respond to it. Your awareness expands. Now you can see, and also you can see things of how to stop it.
Okay.
Then you're able to respond to it.
That makes sense.
Okay, the next part, this belief that the fault belief, right, the fault belief, also goes into other extremes. When a victim blames the other person or situation for their suffering, of course the other person or situation caused the suffering, but staying stuck in the suffering because another person or situation made it happen is self-defeating. Holding on to suffering without an effort to move out of it is a huge spiritual trap. It invalidates our power and keeps us at a low vibrational signature. So having a lot of experience with PTSD, a lot of it, right? In extreme cases, people hadn't been tortured by authorities, like badly, badly tortured and maimed. That type of extreme. I was talking to a friend I'd met online who revealed that they were suffering from PTSD. And I said to them, oh, well, I have a solution for that. It's called a fear processing exercise. If you do that and you do it consistently, you know, like 3 times a day minimum, you will eventually in a few months or a year start be able to step out of that PTSD condition. He went nuts. And it was a clear case of what you said, you know, for one person's what they consider hardship, another person is like nothing, right? And he started like shouting and screaming because it was a voice channel. And how dare I invalidate what he went through, and nothing can cure it. And he's on disability because of it. And this is what happened to him. And for me, what happened to him was like a nothing thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He'd been in Iraq or something and had to blow up people and whatever. Yeah.
That's a nothing thing.
For me, yes. For me, it's not nothing thing. But I think it has very much to do with your relation of what can be traumatic and what isn't, you know. For me personally, from what I've lived and seen and experienced, doing that or having seen that done, for me, it's a nothing that you can overcome. Of course, your body's going to be traumatized, right? And your emotional body's going to be shattered, and your mental body too. But you can cure it. Okay, you can cure it. With a fear processing exercise, you can actually cure that, right? If you want. But he didn't want it. He didn't want that cured. He was stuck with it and really, really holding on to it. And then I said, well, when that happens, and I should have known better, but I did. I said, when that happens, what you think is incurable, you have to ask yourself, how is this serving me? Or how is this serving another person? And then, of course, he was on like Donkey Kong. How dare I say
how dare
that?
You?
Yeah, it was serving. So that was the end of that. And there was another person, another friend who was also listening. And he was also had been in one of those situations. And he was also receiving medication and an income from PTSD from the army in the United States. And he was interested. Like, wait, what are you saying? And he did come in with an energy of, after that other person left, he did come in with an energy of anger and, you know, how dare I say it, but he was more open. I mean, you could really tell in his voice that he wanted to hear more. What are you talking about? You know, have you had this type of experiences and did it work for you? And so I said, yeah, I used it for curing, right? Or minimizing the effects to the level that you can function in life, which is, you know, if you're lazy like me, you're going to drop it and not go all the way to a cure, right? For certain things. Okay, that's good enough. I can function now. That's great. But other people have used it to go all the way and get complete cures, right? And he says, yeah, I can see that. I'm in a pattern, he said, of people validating what I did, what I went through, and that gives me a level of value, he said. And yeah, the benefits, the financial benefits are clear, and this and this and the other. So he was telling me how it was serving him.
Mm-hmm.
And then but he says, so if I let go of it, this is are the consequences. My disability benefit goes away, and this and this and the other, my support group and blah, blah, blah. And says, yeah, you have to look and balance it. I mean, but from a conscious perspective, then you choose whether to continue on that path or to forge a different path, right?
Right. The only experience open to you isn't the one of being supported for being a PTSD, whatever, survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other other options available that are maybe more, I guess, expansion of awareness-y.
Yeah. So there's different options
for PTSD, like counselor instead of a victimer.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You could still like have your group of guys that are
the bros.
Brothers in arms. Yeah. But maybe have a different relationship.
You could, yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to him because I was kicked out of the group. So, which was run by the first guy. So, you know. But there's options.
Yes.
There's definitely options. And it's amazing how triggering that is. I mean, the whole this whole article in through the years has been very triggering. People quote it and then they send feedback or whatever is in a very triggered way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's an advanced reading article.
Yes.
Because yeah. It can be taken out of context so easily.
Yeah.
I guess even out of context isn't the right word. It could just be misconstrued to say a thing that you're triggered against.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So when you step into the victim energy that I explained, which is I can't do anything about it because other people have more power over me, there's literally nothing you can do. But when you realize, wait, yeah, that happened and those people are bad, but I can step out of this, that whole thing changes. And then, yeah, I've got PTSD over it, you know, and you can either go the route of the first guy who there's no cure and I'm going to be like this forever and other people are to blame. Or you can go the second route, which I think you might have gone, of making a decision whether, wait, this is a lifestyle I want to keep. And if not, what can I do to minimize it? Right. So, yeah. So the thing, the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I talk about it here too, is when bad things happen to good people, we often wonder why. And I think it's even a saying, bad things happen to good people, or the way to hell is
paved with good intentions.
Good intentions, you know? So
the road to hell.
Yeah, the road to hell. So here it says, when bad things happen to good people, we often wonder why. Gandhi was shot in cold blood. Jesus was crucified. These things happened to stop their work, not to save humanity. It was not their choice, conscious choice, right? It was like, and seeing as they were not able to respond to it, they were not responsible for it. So they were not able to respond to it. When I know people who've been shot dead because of their beliefs, right? Even in front of me. So I'm not talking through theoretical knowledge only. And the pattern that I've seen for these people, we might call them martyrs, is that they had a belief inside of themselves that they could be killed for their beliefs. That people were trying to kill them and wanted to kill them and that they could. I've met people who were just as good as leaders and whatevers who didn't carry that pattern. And they weren't killed. So it's like, it's heavy, right? But it's, and I don't know. I mean, I know Gandhi was shot in cold blood, right? There's movies. I mean, there's somebody was actually recording it. I saw it on a documentary. And
so what you're saying, I mean, I'm just taking what you're saying is Gandhi got shot and it was his fault because he carried his belief about he could be killed. Is that what you're trying to say?
Not really. It was that what I'm saying, it wasn't his fault because he didn't know that that was a pattern he could step out of. If he had known that if he processed his fear of being killed or believed that other people would have that power to do that to him, he wouldn't have been able to be shot.
But it's not his fault that he didn't know?
No.
Whose fault would it be that he didn't know? Somebody around him that should have told him?
Fault. Because fault is the... I'm sure when he died, he went, oops. You know? probably. Like, oopsie, like, should have known that one. Yeah, there was no awareness field. There was nothing there that could teach him that. That he could step out of that martyrdom energy. And maybe it was actually something that he had already scheduled and they had planned to create a martyr energy. Right?
Right. Well, that seems reasonable. I mean, there's no fault in that. That's just an arrangement.
Yeah. And then the Jesus thing, I don't know if Jesus existed even or was crucified, you know, but there's definitely a whole pattern of martyrdom and guilt and fear around it that has colored the light-dark paradigm for thousands of years.
Yeah, there's some magic around that story.
Yeah.
Because it's very impactful for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Well above its actual, you know.
Yeah. So was he able to respond to it, right, or not? Don't know, because we don't know if he existed either.
We don't know which part of the fairy tale is right.
Right.
The right version of the events.
Mm-hmm.
But as told, he victimed himself and martyred himself. That was, I thought, the reason. So they could prove that he could come back to life or something?
Yeah, it's not clear enough for that
one. It's not clear enough for that one.
So reality check. We can only, quote, create our reality, end quote, when we take charge of our own game. When we learn the rules of the game and can take our power back from those who keep us asleep and as pawns in their games. And yes, if we go all the way to oneness, again, it's irrelevant. You chose all of it, right? All of it.
It's all experiences.
We're not talking about that level because we're not in that level right now. As a person or as a collective, we're not at the level of oneness. So we have to bring it down to what's relevant. Okay? We take back our power and we create our own games.
So how could we not be at fault if we're the ones who need to take our power back?
At a level of oneness, you are responsible, absolutely. And you could say it's your fault.
Even,
but we're not living at the level of oneness. We're living at the level of what programs are you aware of and which ones are you not aware of? That's the level of game we're playing at right now.
So when I hear the fault, I hear of it's my responsibility. It's not somebody else's fault. I can't blame someone else for the experiences that I'm having. I need to take responsibility for the experiences that I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
So whose fault can it be other than mine? It can only be mine.
But what does fault mean to you?
It means assigning the
blame,
the reason for the outcome,
mm-hmm.
the reason for me to like have busted my leg is, well, I could examine it and look at it. It could be climbed a tree without a rope or whatever.
Yeah, but
the fault would be mine.
And the word fault is charged. Why? Because let's say if I say to you, are you a faulty man? Do you have a faulty car? What does that mean?
Is my car prone to break?
Yes. What is a faulty car?
Manufactured improperly.
Exactly. So were you manufactured improperly?
No.
No. So that's why that word was injected there, because it means something radical. It means that you weren't made right, that you're wrong somehow, made wrong. You're a creation. You're not like without wrong thingies inside, you know?
Yeah.
You're manufactured wrong. So that's and it's permanent. That's why that word fault is erroneous to use in this context.
Could be.
That's not true. You're not full of faults. You're not manufactured wrong. Do you see? That's why I don't use that word. And when you use that word for yourself or others, you're already bringing it back into that light-dark paradigm that you're a victim and you can't do anything about it because a faulty car is faulty by a manufacturer.
So we can say you're responsible, but you're not at fault.
Yes, you're responsible. If your awareness is expanded enough, then at this level of the game, at the level of oneness, you're responsible for everything.
Right, but I mean, that's
irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Exactly. That's what I'm
saying. We're talking about at this level of awareness.
Yes, at this level of awareness.
Which is the one we interact with on a daily basis, you know, on mm-hmm. a normal sense. Not like we're just after you spent 7 hours in meditation and you're expanded into an enlightened state. That state of awareness of fault and blame and stuff, that doesn't exist anyway.
Exactly.
But at the normal, like I'm going to the restaurant and somebody spilled Coke all over the table and it got all over my pants and now my pants are sticky and wet.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault's that?
Right.
That's a good question. We'll find out in the second hour. I don't know. I think somebody better be getting blamed for this. Because my pants are sticky.
We're not playing the game of life on Earth in isolation, but we can most certainly play a powerful game.
Yes.
And we'll see you on the second hour.
Okay.
You can go to Subscribe Start or Walk With Me Now to get the second hour, where we expand on this much, much more.
Yes.
With our panelists.
Of experts.
Yes.
Expert panelists. Yes. Engineers.
Yes.
Doctors.
Yes. Mystics.
Mystics. Corporate.
Professionals.
Yes. We have a very esteemed panel.
We do.
Okay. See you there.
Bye. That reminds me also of the concept of confession, because many times, and I grew up among Catholics, people would do bad things. I said, it's fine. I got confession on Friday or whatever. Now I was like, what does that, I mean, you know, doesn't make sense to me. Well, and I asked what it was about and says, yeah, you just tell the priest the bad things you've done. And then you need to do so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers and it's gone. You know, you're perfectly fine afterwards. You know, it's like nothing ever happened.